Hello, church family. I want to welcome you to our virtual prayer meeting service. We're glad you're able to join us over live stream, or for some folks that are looking at this as a recorded version on Facebook and other media platforms. These have been difficult times for us as a church family from the standpoint of people missing fellowship with one another. Our governor this week declared that unnecessary congregating with people would not be tolerated, and you can look for details on that on the indiana.gov website. I think obeying our governor is very, very important at this particular time. But in the spirit of obedience to our governor, we also want to give our church family some opportunities. Now, before I get into that, I want to say this. We're very thankful. All the pastors on the staff have been calling people, regular attenders, members of our church, and talking to people. And at this point, we don't know of anyone, whether on staff or any member of our church or even regular attender, that has come down with the coronavirus. So we're thankful for that. We're claiming the promise of Psalm 91, that these plagues will not come nigh our dwelling. But that does require, of course, congregation, that you will take adequate care. Wash your hands. Don't go places unnecessarily. Don't be out in public. And all the things that you've heard probably hundreds of times by now, we're endorsing those things as something you can do. A number of folks, though, have said, you know, Pastor Motti, we are absolutely cooped up in our homes. And so let me encourage you about this. On Sunday, we're going to have a special opportunity for you. The church, of course, and by the way, I want to say I'm very grateful for many members of the church that have found ways to support the church financially. We have a number of those ways at the end of this broadcast. Someone will review those with you again. But I'm very thankful for the support that we've received. But one of our deacons actually came up with a great idea that we will have a time on Sunday where folks can drop off offerings at the church. Now, listen carefully. You will not have any contact with either pastoral staff or deacons who will be taking care of this matter. Rather, it will be a drive-up situation where you'll be able to drive up and place your offering in an offering plate, and then that will be handled the same day here in the church, counted and deposited. Very important at this particular juncture because we're in the middle of a building program. By the way, this is good news. At first, we thought the building would have to slow down or perhaps stop because of the governor's request, but we found out today that the city of Danville has said that we can go ahead and continue construction. So that was very encouraging. I'm glad we won't fall behind in relationship to that. But what we're going to do is this. The live stream broadcast of the Sunday morning service will take place at 10:30 in the morning. At noon, so from noon until 1, you will have an opportunity to drive by the church and drop off your giving. In addition to that, we're going to be passing out devotionals for those who would like them, and maybe other materials from the church. So we want to, this is an opportunity. Now, you will not have direct person-to-person contact except to drop your offering in an offering plate. So you're not going to get out of your car, you're not going to come into the church building, but you'll have just a moment. Members of the pastoral staff, I plan to be there, for example, will be there as well as some of our deacons to handle this. It will give you an opportunity to get out of the house. And I don't know how many people I've talked to that in just 2 days, they feel completely confined. It will give you an opportunity to get out of the house. You will be safe. You will remain in your car the entire time. You will not have direct person-to-person contact with any of our deacons or pastoral staff. We want to be clear about that. But if you could go to McDonald's and buy food at a drive-thru, certainly you can support your church at a drive-thru. And so I'm excited about the opportunity, just as an opportunity to maybe at a distance catch a glimpse of the people that I love the most in this world, the members of Faith Baptist Church. So I would encourage you, that will begin on Sunday from 12 o'clock noon, high noon until 1, just a one-hour window. Lord willing, if we had crowds of people, of course, we would extend it beyond the 1 o'clock hour if there were a line of cars, and that would be a blessing. But we're going to have the window right now of 12 until 1, and so we want to give you this opportunity to get out and about, and then an easy way to support your church. And one of our pastoral staff at the end of this message is going to give you other ways that you can keep the church supported. But I want to say I'm thankful to many people who have already responded to that call. I said, I guess a couple services ago, Faith Baptist Church always rises to the occasion. And I am thankful to be pastor of such a church, and it's a great place to pastor for such a time as this. Oh, whoa. That was not the corona, but we're being safe. All right, take your Bible with me. Turn to Psalm 46, please. Psalm 46. I want to give you an encouraging message tonight before we go into our prayer time, and it concerns the idea of how we don't have to be afraid. In a devotional that will be coming out later this week, I'm going to speak on the topic of being more than conquerors, and so I want you to listen to that. But tonight I want us to look at Psalm 46, and I will begin reading at verse number 1. We're going to work our way through the psalm, and if you have a pen and pencil, paper available, whatever you write with, I would encourage you to take notes tonight. Psalm 46, verse number 1. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Psalm 46, of course, your Bible commentary ideas differ as to the background of this psalm. But most scholars agree that likely this psalm was written during the time of King Hezekiah. You will remember from the historical books of the Old Testament that King Hezekiah was confronted with the greatest threat of the then known world, and that was the Assyrian army under Sennacherib, the king. And they had actually surrounded all of Jerusalem. And it looked as if Jerusalem would fall completely during the reign of Hezekiah. But when we read in the historical books what God did, God took care of over 180,000 Syrian soldiers. And you can read about that in the historical books of the Old Testament. Now, Psalm 46 likely was written with that backdrop. So if I could, in my mind's eye, I want to think about Jerusalem surrounded by armies. I want to think about good King Hezekiah. I want to think about the fear that the people had, because at that time Assyria was the greatest of the world powers and a very vicious world power. Hardly a more vicious group of people has ever arisen on the face of the earth. And so doubtless there was great fear. There was fear because there was a threat. There was fear because there was uncertainty. There was fear because the future did not look bright. And ladies and gentlemen, while we do not face a physical army at the borders of America, we face an insidious enemy from within that could, if we allow it, cause us to become fearful. Now, the Bible already labels every Christian as more than conqueror through him who loved us, through Jesus Christ. We're already more than conquerors, but we are also human beings. And there's a tendency sometimes when we are inundated with the news, and the news cycle has changed dramatically hour by hour, when we're inundated with rumor. And by the way, I have been the recipient of many unsubstantiated rumors. Please, ladies and gentlemen, do not traffic in rumor, okay? Unless you know something to be a fact. Well, Pastor Monty, I read it on the internet. Someone said that the internet has made this the information age. I would like to remind you, church, that the internet has really made this the misinformation age. And just because you've read it on the internet does not mean that it is true. And when we pass around unsubstantiated rumors, what we do is create fear in the heart of people. And fear is something that God tells us we should suppress. Now, is fear legitimate under certain circumstances? Certainly. It is an emotion that God has given us. Our psychologist friends call that the fight or flight emotion, that response. Okay, that is fear. But fear in the face of calamity for the Christian is something that should not be. In John 6, verse 20, for example, Jesus said, "Be not afraid." In Joshua 1 and verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, "Be not afraid." In fact, he said, "Be of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Why? "The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." In Psalm 91, verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not be afraid." Are you getting the idea? That in the midst of a calamity, fear, and by the way, that's no matter how large the calamity may be, you're going to see something in the psalm in a moment. Fear is something we need to be careful of. Proverbs 3, verse 25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Even when something comes suddenly, as much as 3 weeks ago, most of us had heard of the coronavirus only as something that was inflicting its country of origin, China. And then we've heard of its spread into European nations, and we marveled at the rapid spread of this disease in Italy and in Spain. Then we came to understand that this was a threat to our nation, and so borders were closed and travel was restricted. Isn't it amazing how quickly things have progressed? I think that could be defined scripturally as sudden fear. But Proverbs 3:25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Now, Psalm 46 was written with the armies of Sennacherib knocking on the doors of the gates of Jerusalem. And it would be very easy, knowing the ferocious nature, the vicious, vile nature of these armies, it would be very easy dwelling within that city to understand that eventually they would breach the walls. Eventually they would break down the gates, and eventually unspeakable horrors would befall the people in the city. And yet God says, be not afraid. Christians should not live in fear. Let me say that again. Christians should not live in fear. Now, this does not mean that we don't adequately prepare. We should. This does not mean that we flagrantly refuse to wash our hands and that we go into Walmart and get as close to crowds of people as we can. No, none of those things is the case. God has given us common sense, and he expects us to obey the powers that be, Romans chapter 13. But what it does mean is this: in my heart of hearts, I don't have to fear, listen carefully, no matter what happens. And I don't have to live in a state of anxiety over something that is out of my control and something that is not even visible. And Psalm 46 gives us a pathway for that. What are the ways to conquer fear in Psalm 46? Thinking, if you will, about the likely background of the psalm, the armies of Sennacherib surrounding Jerusalem. What are the ways? Number one, and I hope you'll write these down because it may help you or maybe someone else. Number one, trust God as your protector. Trust God as your protector. Look at verse number one. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Now notice that. Therefore will not we fear, and what a broad statement, though the earth be removed. You mean, Pastor Monty, we shouldn't fear if the entire earth were suddenly gone? No. Look what it says. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, that is the sea, though they be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, an invitation to peace. You say, Pastor, in other words, if the entire world, the geographic, the geological, the oceanic world, if that were all to suddenly come apart at the seams, we should not fear? That is exactly what the psalmist tells us. Why? The answer is verse number one. God is our refuge and strength. The God who existed before the earth is our refuge. I dwell on this earth, but my refuge is in God. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is a place that I can hide. When all of the earth, Pastor Monty, the best thing we could do is, in the words of the preppers, and I've got a little prepper in me, don't misunderstand. I have the doomsday prepper mentality. I've got a little bit of that in me. For those who are watching, you don't want to approach my home in a violent or in a riotous way, because I have enough of a prepper in me that I am more than prepared. And of course, our church members would not do this, but I'm talking about people that are out there in this world. You don't want to approach because of that. But my refuge ultimately is not my home. Now, my home is my castle. My home is more than adequately defended. And that's all I need to say about that. But my refuge is God. You see, to be frank with you, this virus could come into my home on the soles of the shoes that I walk through the grocery store to buy keto-friendly meals with. This virus could invade and would invade in a way that I would not even see it were to enter my home. And while my home is my castle, it is not my refuge. In a time like this, I need to trust God as my refuge. I need to trust God as my strength. God is the one who will give me the physical strength, the mental strength, the spiritual strength to endure through this. I need to look at God, according to Scripture, as a very present help. In other words, God is here. But when God is here in my life, he is not just idle. He is active, and he is my help. I trust God in a time of trouble because God is my protector. I trust him as my protector. Now look what it says in verse number 2. Therefore will not we fear. regardless of the magnitude of a calamity, I will not fear. Now, church family, look at me. Your pastor refuses to be the victim of fear. Your pastor refuses to be frozen by fear. We have, as a church, a huge opportunity. Of course, we will hunker down, but we will also reach out. We won't reach out physically. We're not shaking hands or getting up in people's grill. We're not doing that. But we are reaching out by every means possible to not only edify Christians, but to proclaim the gospel of Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear. And how can we do that? We trust God as our protector. But there's more. Picturing around Jerusalem the armies that have gathered to destroy the city, the next morning would be their attack, probably first light. What did the psalmist say of that in verses 4 and 5? I love this. In verse 3, the waters of the seas and the oceans, those are troubled. The mountains shake with swelling. Look at verse 4, please. The Bible says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. We have a contrast between this world and the calamity of this world and the peace that comes from the promises of God. Verses 4 and 5, if you will, fast forward under divine inspiration to a time period that has not yet taken place in this world. As Sennacherib's armies, the Assyrians, have gathered themselves in full force against the city of Jerusalem, and the next day would, at the dawn, the break of dawn, they would attack that city. The psalmist says, wait a minute, look to a different city. Look in the words of the penman of the book of Hebrews, to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Not only should we trust God for our protection, but secondly, we should concentrate on the future promise. Verses 4 and 5 are a direct reference to the coming millennial kingdom age. It is a reference to a time when Jerusalem will never again face armies encamping round about the city. It is a time when no enemy will enter Israel, when no enemy will approach into Judah. It is a time of absolute peace when the King of Peace, Jesus Christ, reigns upon the throne. And in the midst of the threat that they faced in Hezekiah's day, the psalmist says, fast forward in your mind, concentrate on a future promise. Let me remind you, church, of something that I think is important in a time like this. Everything on earth is temporary. Everything on earth is temporary. Life itself is temporary. We do our best to preserve and prolong life, and indeed we should. It is the right and the Christian thing to do. But ultimately, it is temporary. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everything is temporary. And a second thought is this. Everything on this earth changes. I don't know about you, but I'm a creature of habit. And I love to do some of the same things and go to the same places. I like new experiences too, but once I've found joy or happiness or comfort in something, I like to return to that over and over and over again. The truth is, things change in this world. Those members of our congregation who are older have witnessed tremendous change. In April, my mother will be 91 years old, and though she now cannot recall all of this, I've often marveled at the length of time that she's lived and the things that she has seen change in this world. From the time that she could remember anything as a child until now, the changes have been incredibly dramatic. By the way, some for the good and some not so good. She's lived through an awful lot of history. She's lived through World War I, mother would be upset. She's not that old. She's lived through World War II when she was a young person, a teenager at that time in her life. And she understands what it is for America itself, the concept of America, the whole nation, to be under threat. She understands those things. But I'm saying everything changes and everything is temporary. And so the psalmist points us to something in the future that will not change. These peaceful words, there is a river. Picture with me the beauty of a peacefully flowing river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That is speaking of Jerusalem. the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, that is speaking of the millennial temple. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. That is when Jesus Christ himself rules and reigns on David's throne in Jerusalem, an event not yet fulfilled, but an event guaranteed. God shall help her, and that right early. Concentrate on the future promise. Focus or concentrate on things that do not change, things that God has promised, his coming kingdom age where there will be no sickness, illness, or disease. The very presence of God, verse number 5, God is in the midst of her. The assistance of God, God will help her. So, number 1, I'm going to trust God as my protector. Number 2, I'm going to concentrate on the future promises of God. Someone said, well, Pastor, what about this world right now? I think we hold to it too definitely. I think we hold to it too firmly. Our grasp is too strong. What we need sometimes is to look above the veil of tears that is this world and understand that there is something better coming. Number 3, how can I not fear? Ways to conquer fear. Number 3 is this, recognize God's providence. Oh, how we need this message. And look at what the psalmist said in verses 6 and 7. The heathen raged. Who are the heathen there? I think they're the Assyrian armies, the Assyrians, certainly a heathen people. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. Assyria was the world power that dominated at that time period and had overrun kingdoms to establish an empire. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He, speaking of God, uttered his voice. The earth melted. Isn't it amazing that God, in his providence, allows man to only go so far? The most powerful human force of the then-known world was the Assyrian Empire. The most feared force of the then-known world was the Assyrian Empire, and yet God said this, I will allow it to only go so far and not one inch further. The most powerful of human forces would melt at a single word from the mouth of God. It helps me to recognize God's providence at this time. Man cannot thwart God's plan. A virus, an illness, cannot thwart God's plan. You say, well, Pastor Monty, is the virus something, pardon my cough, that's the cough I always have, it is not part of an illness. Well, it is not, so stop right now. Is this virus part of the plan of God in that God brought it to bear upon America, perhaps in judgment, or is it something that Satan brought? Those are legitimate questions. I don't need to have an answer. The prophets of the Old Testament, they heard the very voice of God. They penned the very words of God. They were the recipients of divine revelation. I am not. But I can tell you this. This did not take God by surprise. And in his providence, he has allowed this to afflict the nations of the world, and now our nation. He has allowed it for his own purposes. And people and a virus and any calamity the world may ever see, it cannot thwart the promises of God. It cannot overrun God's providence. In other words, God is ultimately in control. Now look at verse number 7. The psalmist reminds his readers, as the armies of Assyria are encamped against Jerusalem, he reminds his readers that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is a warrior name for God. The God of Jacob refers to the covenant that was made with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is saying that God protects his covenant people. I've been doing a lot of study recently in the book of Ezekiel. And it is interesting, whether I'm in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the major prophets, it is interesting that God brings judgment sometimes upon his people. Isaiah warned, and Jeremiah warned, and Ezekiel warned. God brings judgment sometimes upon his people, but God always preserves for himself a remnant. And the book of Ezekiel is not just a book of condemnation to Judah immediately prior to the Babylonian captivity of 586, but it is this. It is a message of ultimate hope. Ezekiel, though preaching a bleak message for the immediate moment, he also had a message of ultimate hope, and God's providence would preserve a remnant. Some of you may not be aware, but the Babylonian captivity actually took place in three different phases. 605 BC, some were taken captive to Babylon. 597, Ezekiel was taken captive to Babylon. Jeremiah, the prophet, was prophesying in Jerusalem at this time. Ezekiel went with the captives into the country of Babylon. And as Ezekiel ministered there, beginning in 597, as Ezekiel ministered there, his message was this, that the Babylonians are not done with destruction. There were some people who said, well, you know, they came in 605, and yeah, they came in 597, but they didn't really destroy much. They set up puppet rulers, and we're going to survive, and it's all going to be okay. Ezekiel's message was this, it is not going to be okay. From 597 until 586, Ezekiel prophesied, preached, wrote, gave wonderful illustrations and object lessons of the fact that God would smash Jerusalem to smithereens. And that was fulfilled in 586, when the Babylonians came for their final time, and not only did they destroy the city, but the bloodshed was colossal. Pastor Monty, what about the people of God? There have always been a remnant. There are always people who are faithful to the Lord and the Lord only, who are people of the book and faithful to the Bible and the Bible only. And I love a vision that Ezekiel was given. He was given a vision of some angels who would be sent into the city to destroy, to kill, to ultimately wreak havoc upon the city. Those, of course, those angels were represented by Nebuchadnezzar, who later came with the Babylonian armies. But there was one angel, the man with the ink horn. What is an ink horn? It's an old-fashioned way. They didn't have the Bic writing pen we have today. They would carry ink in a container, referred to as an ink horn. They would dip a quill into that ink, and they could write and make marks. Ezekiel tells us that there was one angel that had an ink horn. And he went among the people of Jerusalem, and likely, I think, of Judah. And he indelibly and invisibly placed a mark upon their forehead. By the way, it's a Hebrew letter that in that day and time would have been written very similarly to the cross, the shape of a cross. That mark was put on those people because they were the remnant. They were the ones who would survive because God always, always, always preserves a remnant. That is part of his providence. He never makes a full end of his people, and we can trust in him. So trust God as your protector. Concentrate on the future promise and recognize God's providence. When we do that, we gain a perspective. Verse number 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. These are the works of the Lord. Now, whether or not he orchestrated or decreed these things would happen, that is in the counsels of the Almighty. I have no special revelation. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Sometimes God's works are creative. At other times they are desolations. But when you take heaven's perspective, you have God in control. I want to gain his perspective. I want also to expect eventual peace. Look at verse number 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. All this calamity, the threat that now envelops Jerusalem, and yet God says in verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Eventually we will have peace again. This too shall pass. That's an assurance from God. And then a last idea is this. We should look for God's presence. Look at verse 10. In the midst of an army encamped around Jerusalem, in the midst of what looks like inevitable overthrow and destruction, the psalmist writes, be still and know that I am God. How do I not fear? By looking for the presence of God. Understanding providentially he has all of these things in control, but more than that, he desires to fellowship directly with me. I'm supposed to be socially distant from all y'all. That's why we're having a virtual service tonight. I'd love to be able to shake hands or hug or do what we normally do in our congregation, that warm embrace and the expressions of affection that we share amongst each other. I'd love to do that. But right now I need to be socially distant. I don't need to be socially distant from God. That would be a problem. I need to look for God's presence. Where is God? Pastor Monty, where is God in the midst of all of this? Step back. In the words of the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. If you'll take some time while you are sheltering in place at home, maybe extra time to open your Bible and say, God, speak to me. You will sense the presence of God. Maybe as you're outside working in your yard, if the weather turns nice during this time of sheltering at home, maybe you could listen to the birds sing and hear the voice of God and the voice of His creation. Maybe as you're outside or around with family and friends, you could see the miracle of God's presence in the little circle of people who love and support you. Be still and know that I am God. Set aside all the hurry, the work, the effort, all of the things that we get so caught up in. And once again, church, look for the presence of the person of God. He is right here if we will be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, ways for us to overcome the propensity we have naturally for fear. And understanding that background, if anyone had legitimate reason to fear, it was the inhabitants of Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day. And God, the Bible tells us, overthrew that entire Assyrian army with a miracle, with the voice of His word, and in an instant, He delivered His people. May God do the same for us. But while we wait for this to pass, may we have confidence, confidence in Him. Father, we love You and thank You for the scripture that gives us words of people who faced a time that seemed insurmountable, and yet they overcame their own propensity of fear by the very words of God. Help us, Lord, to take comfort in these things. Help us, Lord, to review them when the rumors become overwhelming, when the news media becomes hyper-sensational. Help us, Lord, to know that we are held by the very hand of God. I pray You'll bless our prayer time now as we come to seek Your face. I pray You'll use this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask Pastor Wall to come, and he's going to lead us in prayer. And I know that the church family, I'm going to ask you to continue viewing, and as we pray, I'm going to ask you to pray as well.
I thought he was going to spray me. I'll lead us in some prayer as it pertains to our current crisis and what we're dealing with, and to give us some perspective on that in prayer. It always gives us perspective when we go before the Lord. And then Pastor Morris is going to close our prayer time as he prays for some here at the church who need our prayers. And I'll end by a couple of announcements. So join with me in prayer as we bring our needs before the Lord. Father, we come to You, and we love You because You first loved us. Father, I pray that You would meet the needs of our country. Father, they are far more dire spiritually than they are physically. But Father, this evening we ask for Your guidance, and we ask for Your listening ear. Father, that You would work in our lives. Father, we ask for the health of our healthcare professionals. Lord, they are on the front lines of this epidemic, this pandemic. Lord, every hour of their working day, they are with the sick, many of whom are infected with the virus. And Father, as they give of themselves, we ask that You would protect them. We ask for the doctors and nurses and assistants and those working in nursing homes and the EMTs and all of those who are serving in these areas. Lord, we ask for Your supernatural protection for them, that they may not get sick, that You would maintain their health, Lord. We are so grateful for them. We are so grateful to live in a country that has such an incredible medical system, the best in the world, Lord. And we believe that that is true, and we ask that You would continue to protect those that serve us in the healthcare industry. Father, we pray that You would protect and be with those who are working in those essential services that continue to equip us and feed us, Lord. Those that work in the grocery store business and all of the supply chain that makes affordable food possible for us, protect them. Father, I pray that they would not be sick as they're exposed to many people as well. Protect those who serve us in the areas of the pharmacies and the banks, our law enforcement community. Father, I pray that you would protect them, once again asking for your supernatural protection against sickness, and protect their families as well during this time. Father, I pray that you would give them protection and strength. Lord, I now lift before you those that are affected by the economic results of this pandemic. Father, there will be significant layoffs, or already has been. Father, we pray for those that will be laid off, those that have lost significant amounts of money in their investments and retirements. Father, those that are small business owners. Father, those children of all that are affected, Lord, I pray that you would give them your hope and give them the security in you. As we know that this world is temporary and this world is very fragile, as we've seen the last couple of weeks how fragile everything is. Lord, but we know that our hope, when it resides in you, that it's a sure, steadfast hope. And Lord, we ask that you would wrap those that will be suffering economically in your arms of grace and undergird them in the security that they can find in you, Father. And I pray that the economy, though it is not a primary in our lives, nor it should be, Father, I pray that the negative effects of this would be mitigated. And Lord, that we would see an economic bounce back, Lord, sooner rather than later. And I pray that you would just guide us through this, Lord. Certainly, we know that this time is an opportunity for us to refocus our priorities. We ask that we would do that. But Father, I pray that you would just be with those and those that are suffering through this, Lord, in a real, real way. And Father, for all of us, Lord, help us to focus forward. This too shall pass. We understand that. But Father, just today as a staff, we were thinking and talking about that time when we get to meet together again. How sweet that will be as we meet together for the first Sunday. Lord, we look forward to that. Lord, we look forward to the time that we'll be able to reunite with extended family members at picnics, at reunions. Lord, I feel like each one of those new times that we meet together will be a reunion. Father, may we focus on Christ. May we focus on those times. May we focus on the hope that we find in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we were exhorted tonight, may we be still and know that you are God. The question has been asked, where is God now? We know that God is exalted and he is on his throne right now, just as he was 3 weeks ago and just as he will be for 3,000 years in the future. I pray that you would work in the lives of those affected by this. Protect those that serve us. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that as far as we know so far, nobody in our church has been infected with this virus. You've kept us all safe and healthy. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that you truly are our protector. You are a provider. And it's by your providence and your presence that that's happened. And we just pray that that will continue. Of course, Lord, we do still pray for those who are sick. We think especially of Steve Johnson and his recent surgery. I know he's recovering now in a health care center, trying to get some therapy and rehab. I know, Lord, he's struggling with maintaining an appetite and keeping his weight up. So I just pray that you'll help him. I pray that you'll give the doctors, the nurses, everyone involved in his case, wisdom in knowing how to bring about the best amount of help in the shortest amount of time. Be with Marie while she's away from him. Encourage her and bless her heart. We think of these others, Lord, that many in our church who recently have gone through surgery or an injury and are recovering. I pray for Ramonte Harris. I'm thankful, Lord, that he finally got the foot surgery that he needed. I pray, Lord, that he'll soon be able to walk freely again, regain his balance, regain his ability to move about freely. Thankful for his faithfulness here at our church as much as he can be. We think also of Maurice Wells and Manuel Alvarez, and pray that you'll continue to bless them, keep them free from continued pain and problems. And Lord, we're glad to see that they've been experiencing some progress physically. I pray especially for them spiritually. Like everybody else now, we're all confined to home, and we get to understand how tiring that's been on them and how stressful it's been on them. So we pray, Lord, that while we're at home and we have this time, that we'll take time to reflect and be thankful for what the good health that you've given us over the years. We think of Phyllis Transbarger, and thankful, Lord, that she's also home now and out of the hospital. I know she's on oxygen full-time now. I just pray that you'll continue to bless her, help her to get used to that. I know it's a difficult thing to get used to, and I know she probably struggles with that a little bit at first, but I pray that that'll become something that she can deal with easily and will be able to get most of her mobility back. We think of Sharon Hurd and her recovery from her back surgery. We're thankful, Lord, that that was successful, but now she's dealing with other problems and pains and trying to get over that. We pray that you'll continue to bless her, give her physical health and strength. And we also ask for continue to bless Danny Wall. It's been good to see him back when we were having services, and good to see him back out and about. We pray, Lord, that now that he can't get out, that you'll continue to heal him and give him full strength. And Lord, we don't want to neglect praying for those folks that have been struggling for years with many, many struggles, many, many serious problems. We think of Linda Bills and her upcoming possibility for her lung transplant. I know she's waited for that for a long time. I know her and John have been very patient. They've gone through a lot of trials and a lot of effort in trying to get themselves ready for this. And I pray, Lord, that very soon that that'll be not only a possibility but a probability, and she'll be able to get that taken care of. We think of those who in our church have been struggling now for some time with the long-term effects of cancer. We think of Loretta and Daugherty and Bill Allen, Gary Brown, Asa Jenkins. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you've seen fit to bless them with extended life and extended freedom to move about. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do a work in their homes. I'm so thankful for their families, for the loving husbands and wives, for the loving children that have watched over and taken care of them. And I know, Lord, you've done a great work there, and we're so excited to see that. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless our church. Pray that while people are home and taking this time away from social interaction, like a pastor said, they won't take time. They make sure they don't take time away from you. In fact, they can have more time to read their Bible, more time to study, more time to pray, and, Lord, more time to draw closer to you. We pray that's exactly what would happen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, just a couple of quick reminders in the way of announcements. Remember to continue to join us on live stream. Of course, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, you've joined us, and we're very grateful. And then Sunday mornings at 10:30, continue to join us there as well. If you've not been able to see the daily devotions, we'd ask you to check your email for that link there, or you can go directly to YouTube and find our YouTube channel and watch our daily video devotions that we make available. You can also find those on Facebook as well. So check those out. That keeps us connected. By the way, lots of feedback that we've had from that. Thank you so much for being a part of those. It's our pleasure to serve you in that small regard. Speaking of service, thank you so much to all of you who have reached out to us and availed yourself to help those that may be in need here in the church. We have a pretty resilient church right now, folks, and that they have been able to kind of weather the storm so far is pretty incredible. But we've received so many people that have availed themselves to help, but we kind of have a demand shortage. We have plenty of supply as far as the help, but the demand is low because there's already people that are out there helping kind of behind the scenes. So thank you What a picture of the Lord's church you certainly are. Thank you for doing that as far as helping folks out. Remember to, Pastor Monty mentioned earlier that this Sunday from noon to 1 o'clock, please stop by and drop off your tithes, your offerings. It's more than just receiving your offering. It's probably a nice little way to get out of the house. I think the weather's going to be pretty decent. So stop by the South Lobby doors on Sunday between noon and 1 and drop off your tithe and check, and we'll have a bulletin and a handout that you can take with you, and we'll get that in for you. Thank you, church, for being faithful in all areas. Your words of encouragement toward us and toward each other has been a really a blessing, and your service for others, and then the way that you're just faithful on all that you do. I want to put you in mind of something, as I mentioned in my prayer, put you in mind of when we get to meet again. Won't that be exciting? That'll be so exciting. I think that'll be a celebratory service, maybe like we've never had before. And we look forward to that, whether it's in a month or less than that, or maybe it's further away from that. I think the longer that it goes that we're not able to see one another, the more exciting it will be when we get to meet and fellowship together. Let's close in prayer. Thank you for joining us tonight for our prayer service. And as I finish in prayer, know that we love you and that we're praying for you. Father, I pray that you'd bless us as we go our ways. Lord, those that are at home watching tonight, I pray that you'd bless them. Father, I pray that you would keep them united, strengthen their faith. May Christ be glorified in all that we do. That doesn't change. But it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you Sunday, church.